Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the oxygen.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin. Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%. I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, all you do, going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, 90 confirmed COVID cases from yesterday, 33 of those from Lagos. So, yes, we're dealing with a disaster here in Lagos, but COVID is still out there, so please limit your movement. And when you must go out to work or to buy essentials, wear a mask and keep a distance from people. Don't forget to wash your hands or sanitize as often as possible. 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. Thank you for tuning into the show. We have a great one for you today, starting with the big three. We'll talk some more about the collapse in Ikoyi and the latest on survivors and casualties. Then let's talk about the reports about safety concerns with this particular building. And then, of course, we'll go to Abuja, University of Abuja, where there's been yet another abduction. Chukwudi will bring you community report live from the scene of the collapse. And on the big hard fact, we will talk about abandoned government projects. The National Society of Engineers says that there are over 56,000 of them across the country. So we're going to be talking to Tracker about what leads to abandoned projects and what can be done to tackle this menace. As usual, we'll have news updates at the top of every hour. You listen to every minute, really, if you don't want to miss out on every single thing that we talk about on this show. Again, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Let's get right into today's big three.
Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We're streaming live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info FM. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. And we're showing you footage from the building collapse in Ikoyi. For our first story, I'm updating you on the Gerard Road building collapse. 10 people have been confirmed dead, with 9 bodies retrieved. That's according to Deputy Governor Bafemi Hamzat. Rescue efforts are still ongoing. Rescue agencies say that they are working very fast. They're working as fast as they can while maintaining safety. But of course, family members of the people who are trapped are not happy with the speed of the rescue effort. We're going to talk about that some more with Emmanuel Onwuka. He's on the phone at the moment. We're also getting unconfirmed reports from survivors about the identities of some of the trapped victims, which allegedly include the owner of the building and foreigners who were touring the site. The deputy governor also says that a collapsed building was approved for 21 floors, not 15, like some online reports are saying. According to the deputy governor, this wasn't one of those situations where the owners were trying to raise the building higher than the approval level. So if that's the case, what did go wrong? Hamzat says that there was a structural defect in the building. He says a government agency ran a structural integrity test, noticed the defect, asked the developers to make a correction. It was allegedly during this correction that the building collapsed. That's all we've heard about that so far. But we'll bring you more details here on Nigeria Info as we get them. We have Emmanuel Onwuka on the line. Emmanuel, hi. Hello, Emmanuel. Hello?
Hello, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, Emmanuel, you're live on the show.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I was listening to the conversation you were having with Vaughn earlier on about what has happened since they spoke with you at 12. And, you know, I was quite confused to hear that work had stopped and no one could explain exactly why work had stopped.
Okay. So, officially, there's no statement on why the work stopped.
Right.
But what we hear is that they are actually on break, you know, trying to relax the machines that have been on since morning, since past 6 a.m. this morning.
Okay.
And also the workers that have been, just to relax, the workers that have been at work since morning as well,
right.
Those operating the machines.
Right.
So that's what they said
right.
is the reason for the break.
Right.
The break has been on since 1:49, yeah, that was when they went on break, and up to now they're still on break. Machines have not come on.
I understand that overnight, despite the heavy rain, people used floodlights to continue the search, digging through debris and twisted metal. But I'm also hearing that they don't have some equipment that could, for instance, cut the iron rods that are on this collapsed site. They also don't have, I mean, you know, yesterday we spoke about, what's it called now, life detection equipment. Have you seen any? The last time we spoke, you said, well, you haven't seen, but if they say it's there, then it's there. But have you seen it since the last time we spoke yesterday?
Well, honestly, as at this morning, they had shortage of equipment as requires the ones that's going to cut through the rods,
mm-hmm.
the iron rods,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. However, at about past 7 to 8 a.m. this morning, NEMA came in with those equipment.
Okay.
And ever since, I've been seeing some private individuals come in with those equipment, their own little equipment,
okay.
like iron cutting equipment, so that they can increase
they can help.
The number of equipment on-site here.
Right.
You know, to ensure that the work moves faster.
Right.
Because earlier, NEMA came in with like 3 quarters and 2 shifters.
Okay.
Those are things you can use to shift and cut through iron rods, no matter how thick it is.
Mm-hmm.
And other people came with their own private tools as well. Aside that, there have been other, there are like 3 excavators right now.
Okay.
3 excavators on ground right now that they're not doing anything. We have about 5 trucks, like 5 trucks that can carry sand.
Mm.
Presently now, all these things are not being used yet because they've not exhausted inside the facility. All these ones are going to go in much later
right.
because of the space.
Right.
So I think the angle of equipment, I think it has been covered. Now, the only thing I can really say right now that, I'm still yet to see is life detection equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen that. Okay, I've not seen that. Someone said something yesterday and said, why aren't they using sniffer dogs?
Yeah.
It's going to help.
Yeah.
You know, but we didn't get that, anybody to, you know, listen to that person that said that. So they're just in there. So what they've been doing ever since is to shut the machines down
mm-hmm.
and then call. Because at about 6 a.m. this morning,
mm-hmm.
while I was here,
mm-hmm.
the lights, the floodlights,
mm-hmm.
the generators that were powering the floodlights were turned off.
Mm.
And then everywhere became very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
At that very point in time, we started hearing someone's voice.
Oh.
Help me.
Oh.
Please help me.
Oh.
And immediately one person said it, we started hearing other persons from different sections underneath say the same thing and make the same call. Their voices were very faint, sounding like they were like a mile away. So after that, that was when the work began this morning and they were able to rescue 2 of those persons alive. So I think that's the same thing they did earlier this afternoon when they detected the voice of 2 ladies.
Mm.
You know, they called their names and they responded and they kept digging and they are yet to actually reach those 2 ladies as we speak right now. So I think that's the situation of things.
How are the family members handling it? Because I also saw that we reported earlier that the family members of the victims are complaining about not being addressed. Has anyone attended to them yet? What's happening with that?
Okay, I think that's the part that has not still been touched yet. Okay. So the family members have been here ever since, and then they told the reporters that they were surprised that nobody from the government has addressed them.
Mm.
However, the deputy governor came out and just addressed the press. He touched on the matter because he was also asked on, you know, reaching out to the families of those persons that are trapped there. And he said, yes, we're going to reach them, but for now we're just trying to save lives. We're concentrating on saving lives. So he left them and went back inside to continue research with other officials as well. So these people were not having it. They feel like, oh, they should be given a chance to, you know, write down the names of their relatives so that at least we can start having an understanding of like how many people are trapped there. So they feel like they should be given a place, a temporal communication center should be set up here,
mm-hmm.
so that they can go there, ask, oh, what's the update? Who are the people that you've been able to find?
Mm.
Because a woman broke down here this morning when she heard news that her husband was dead.
Oh.
And she had to come here and she had to hear it through different channels. So that's... temporal communication office is meant to have like a counseling session, people that are going to talk to them, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to write down the name of their relatives, the jobs of their relatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just going to attend to the family of those that are grieved. Okay? Because I can't just relive that moment where that woman was told that her husband was cut into half.
Oh my God.
So, She just burst into tears and everywhere her hair just went, you know, emotional and everybody was just quiet. Nobody knew what to do anymore. It was just a very sad scenario. So the communications office is meant to handle that, know how to tell them about situations of how their relative died, you know, control how they are going to express themselves. You know, you can't lie to them. I'm not saying they should lie to them, but at least it's a better way to inform them.
Oh.
So that's it. But we don't have that here right now, and attention is not being given to them, and that's why they have, you know, they are agitating and they are protesting the way in which they are being treated.
Have you been able to speak with anyone connected to the project itself? What are they saying about the lead up to the collapse?
You didn't hear that?
Have you been able to speak to anyone, with anyone who is connected to the project itself? What are they saying about the lead up to this collapse?
Okay, so that aspect of this collapse is very low.
Okay.
So nobody is saying anything really about the developer, the managing director, the engineer that we hear are all trapped in there.
Mm.
Earlier today, I was with the family of the MD
mm-hmm.
of this place,
mm-hmm.
and they are grieving. Okay, they don't even want to listen to press. They don't want to even hear press. They don't want to even say anything. The only thing they're just trying to do is pray and remain quiet, sober. That's just how they are.
Why are they grieving because the building collapsed, or are they grieving because they think the MD is also trapped in there?
No, the MD is trapped in here.
Oh, I see.
Yes, the MD is trapped in here, as well as the engineers and some other personalities that for now we can't name.
Hmm.
Yes.
You know, the deputy governor reportedly said that the collapse occurred during a rectification exercise. Do we have any more details on that?
We do not really have much details from there. It came as a surprise, came as a shock. But the deputy governor just clarified that it was a rectification that was currently ongoing, and that was what resulted in the collapse. He said it wasn't because they breached the directive by the governor. Right. However, an investigation is still going to be carried on to find out if they, by any means, breached, you know, the directives of the state governor. But all the while, we've been hearing that, oh, they were licensed to raise that building up to the 15th floor. And then today he said, no, it was actually 21. So that's it.
Okay. All right, Emmanuel, thank you very much for your time. We will call again, of course, to find out if there are any other updates.
Sure, I will let you know.
Good work and stay safe out there, okay?
Thank you, Sandra.
Lagos, let's keep talking, shall we? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Oh, well, I hear that our number for women isn't working at the moment. So if you're a woman, just send us a message via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. But for men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Women, you can also try and call the line for the men, 0700-993-993-993. If you're watching our live stream at the moment, you're seeing footage after footage of what's happening at the site of the building collapse in Ikoyi. Let's talk to Malik. Malik is at Gerard Road. Hi, Malik.
Sandra.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Serious traffic. On that road.
Right.
But I see no reason why you broke the boat lane. It is truck that being packed from your left. You can allow the right lane to be flowing.
Okay.
Because it's causing serious traffic, Sandra. Yes, we know life has been lost. We understand that. But we need to go out and do our own business. Then again, Sandra, we'll ask this question. Where is SON? Where are they, those people that used to mold blocks? Where are they to take the quality of cement, the quality of iron? Sandra?
I'm here, I'm listening.
To me, that building did not collapse because of anything that's going on. They should investigate very well. They should be an explosive that happened that brought that building down like that. Check online and see how a skyscraper used to collapse. It doesn't close that way. It does not go down the drain on its own like that.
All right, Malik there. Guess it's expected that conspiracy theories will start to fly. Let's speak with Chike Asuoha. Chike, welcome to the show.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Chike?
I'm okay. Thank you. I'm calling you from Israel, Tel Aviv.
From Tel Aviv. Okay, welcome.
Yes. It's so unfortunate for what we are just hearing that happened in Ikoyi, the building collapsed.
Oh, your phone call is pretty noisy. I think you're in a really noisy environment. Unfortunately, we can't keep that conversation up. So maybe go somewhere quieter and give us a call back. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's your name? Hello?
Hello.
All right, I'm guessing you can't hear me. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. We've got WhatsApp, like I said. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Now, we've been hearing from lots of witnesses, of course. We've heard from a family who's told reporters that they have a sister inside. Zainab, that was her name. She was working at the construction site as a part of the National Youth Service Corps. We've also heard from someone, a 65-year-old man who's waiting for news about his son, that his son just went there to visit his friend before his flight back to the US where he lives. We're hearing lots of lots of comments, lots of reports from different people there who were claiming that their family members are stuck under the rubble. So this building collapsed around 1:35 yesterday, so over 24 hours now. It was a part of a complex named 360 Degrees Towers, which was intended to house luxury apartments, townhouses, penthouses. That's what the developer's website said, but that website has been taken offline. And this housing scheme is being developed by Fourscore Homes Limited. They have a portfolio of projects in the UK, the US, South Africa, and some other areas of Nigeria. We've spoken with engineers here on Nigeria Info, and we'll speak with a lot more engineers before this ordeal is over. We'll keep bringing you updates, but we have to take a break now. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Don't go away.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Nigeria Info 99.3 is still covering the collapse of a 21-story building on Gerard Road in Ikoyi here in Lagos. If you've been with us since yesterday when that news broke, we've brought you update after update after update of what's going on. So far, a construction worker told newsmen that there were 40 bricklayers who came to work, including some engineers on the first floor. And he fears that they had not escaped. Other witnesses who were working in offices opposite the building that collapsed simply spoke about hearing a sound, looking outside and seeing the building literally going down floor by floor. You have the deputy governor saying that, the building had all the permits that it required to be up, and so they did not go beyond the plan that their suspicion is that it did not meet integrity tests. And I mean, building collapses are common across the country. Between 2005 and 2020, 152 buildings fell down in this city, you know? And this is research that was conducted by a planning expert. His name is Dr. Okunola Olasunkami. And he said between 2005 and 2020, 152 buildings, that's a lot. That's a lot. One of the worst incidents, if you remember, was when a six-story building collapsed during a service, a church service by TB Joshua at the time. That one took 116 people. And building collapses should not be this common. When you talk to the experts, they tell you that in many cases, unqualified, unskilled builders are used alongside substandard materials. So whose job is it to end things like this? To not put people's lives at risk unnecessarily? I wish I had Agogo on the show because he's a planning man and he would have the answers to this question. But Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. If you're abroad, you can call into the show via Skype. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. You can definitely leave us your thoughts on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info FM. We're streaming live there and we're also showing you footage after footage of what's happening at the site where that building collapsed. Let's talk to Obiano. Obiano is in Shomolu. Welcome, Obiano.
Obiano,
good to have you on the show.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, President.
Welcome.
I'm looking at diligence.
Okay.
The type of news that we hear every time this weather sticks, every time building collapses from here to here. Who is the owner of that building? Can they tell us, let us know, so that they will not shoot this thing under the carpet? People are talking about people's life here. Every time, how can somebody say that they draw a pattern to build their house for 15 stories, and they don't know how they managed to do it to 21? And they know this is an island, where they are surrounded with water. We don't know the type of foundation they did here. Now the building have collapsed due to greediness. Please let us know the owners of this building. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling, Obaino. We appreciate your phone call. We've got people on Facebook. Sandra, everything. We can't keep playing with people's lives. Ray Paul simply sends his greetings. And then we have a few more people who are simply talking about how sad the entire situation is. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. This is Nigeria Info. Hello. Sorry about that. Call us back, please. All right, let's take a look at some of the messages that we've gotten on social media. This one says, I have been screaming at the need for modernizing the state for many years, and today the reality of our unmodernity smacked us in our faces. For 4 hours, there was no rescue team at the Ikoyi building collapse scene. People were digging into rubble with bare hands. In Tinubu's echo, what evidence do we need to show that we are still stuck in the 19th century? That evidence showed up in Ikoyi. Forget simple rescue equipment like detectors, snake-like cameras, fiber scopes, sensitive listening devices, laser range finders, search dogs on hazmat suits. An incident scene, which is likely a crime scene, became the scene of open sesame. It was never cordoned off, taped out against intruders. Every conceivable police army officer in Lagos was there. To do what? Dishing out orders. No incident command. No control post. This is not how to manage the state. But there are Nigerians who applaud the bad managers of the state as the best to happen to us after Mungo Park. All right. Thanks for your message. We've got Ekundayo in Ikorodu. Hello, Ekundayo.
Yeah, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you and your family?
We're fine, thank you.
Well, we thank God for life. Well, unusually, I was awake this morning and I listened to Sharif. And the report that he kind of gave is very elaborate.
Okay.
If we're looking at, if we want to find the root cause of this very, very sad and pathetic incident, the contractors that started that project, there are three buildings, quite all right. He had built two, which are standing.
Right.
The third one, he built it up to the fourth floor, according to the report.
Right.
And that report was taken from the letter of withdrawal that he wrote to the developer and some of the structural engineers. He said he affirmed there that he could vouch for the quality of work he had done.
Well,
so the letter was dated 2020, maybe July or so.
February. I've seen that letter, but the deputy governor. But the deputy governor of the state has said that that particular report should be disregarded because what they were building, they had approval to build it. They had approval to build 20 floors. That's what the deputy governor has said. Now I can't vouch for either parties here, but I'm just giving you the updated information.
Well, Sandra, please listen to me very well. I'm not talking about the number of floors that were to be built. The building engineer, the initial contractor, he said specifically that building specifications were not being followed. So what it implies is that maybe after the fourth floor, the developer are taking part of the construction going on from his hands, because he said that he built those two buildings that are still standing now, but that the third one, he built it, he supervised the building up to the third floor, the fourth floor, and because of his integrity and I think the fear of God, that since his guidelines were not being followed, he was withdrawing from the contract. That's the content that Sharif read to everybody this morning. You can confirm it. So the investigation of what happened there should be taken from that letter, because that man is privy to what has happened and what had taken place before this time is a sad incident. And I wish it didn't happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Ekundayo, for calling. David is in Surulere. Hello, David. Hello, David. Hello. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, Sandra. I was holding on for a long time.
Sorry.
I was holding on for almost 2 minutes.
Welcome.
Which, my name is David. I'm calling from Surulere.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's very, very unfortunate. Life has gone. Because the building collapse involves life. Very unfortunate. But I want to say that all those people that are buying land in Ikoyi, Victoria Island, and for the new one now, Babish, they push Babish down. They should not be putting building that grows between that be a story building or two story building. Because all of us living in Lagos here for so many years now, we knew that everywhere at that area, the environment there is filled with sand. It's water. Water. Look at, for example, now. They push that beach. And people are buying that place to build a house now. In the next century now, the water will come from up and it will bring some buildings now. It is unfortunate for such a building. 51-story building. In an area that is being sand filled. So unfortunate, very, very unfortunate. We are in debt because of the debt of those Nigerians, innocent contractors, innocent laborers who left their home, left their family. In the name of that, they are going to work and they couldn't return back to meet their family again. It's very unfortunate. Thank you.
Thank you, David, for calling. Abe is in Ikoyi. Abe, welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, sad that you've lost life and unfortunately situation that happened yesterday.
Hmm.
But this, what I just want to say is this, the first caller that called in, I expected you to actually try to debunk bad news. That the person was saying that because the deputy governor has come out. Official. Understand, the government official is already saying now that they have the license to build 21-story building or 20-story building.
Mm-hmm.
So people should not continue spreading that news and calling radio stations to still be saying that, okay, it's possible that the maybe integrity of the materials, that's what, but the approval thing might not be the issue.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of high-rise building around this place that the standard, you can see that this one cannot even come down in the next 30 years. So maybe the quality of material that is being used, that's what happened there. There are a lot of buildings in Ikoyi. I walk around Ikoyi even in VI.
Mm.
But I just feel like maybe the material that was used is not what is standard enough and all that.
Mm.
So don't encourage people to continue to be saying that. Since the governor has already said, deputy governor has already confirmed that they have the approval.
Mm.
So that we can have a very, very vital information as regards the...
Thank you for calling, Abe. Let's move to our final story. It takes us to Abuja, where University of Abuja staff and their children were abducted this morning. 6 people were kidnapped from the staff quarters, including 4 lecturers and their children. We don't have an official comment from the police yet, but the university has confirmed the attack.
Which of the hosted the attack? Which of the hosted
the staff quarters?
Do I see which side?
Staff quarters are the permanent side. Giri.
Permanent side, Giri?
Yes.
So what really happened? When did they come?
They came in the night, but about 1 a.m.
So it means they must have surveyed the place now.
Of course, that area is very porous. The area is porous, it's not fenced. And then we have hoodlums living in the suburb of Giri. all sorts of houses that are, you know, all these ghetto houses built around Giri, you know. So
what is your management? Are they doing anything so far?
Well, you know, it only happened at night, and then we have received a circular from the vice chancellor on regulating people entering the compound and all that. But you know, that is the common thing in Nigeria, where people, they will allow crime to have been committed, then they now start stressing people who are innocent. You know, that kind of a thing. Like, if you hear there's robbery here, before you know it, police will now come and start stressing other people. Open your car, open your boot, and all that. Whereas the criminals are already gone. They are taking away about four of our professors. Five, you know. And children, too. So, that is what is on ground now.
That's a lecturer from the University of Abuja speaking there. This happened in Gwagwalada in Abuja. A lot of people are asking, is Abuja about to start feeling the type of problems that we've seen in the Northwest and the North Central? Because remember, a couple of months ago, the Niger State governor was raising the alarm that some terror groups were raising their flags over villages that were a few hours' drive from the FCT. And, you know, it may be unconnected, of course, but now we're seeing abductions within the FCT. Now, like I said, no official comment from the police yet. But when the police does speak, they may also have to answer questions about what the plan is to secure the nation's capital. Abuja is the nerve center of the federal government. All three branches are headquartered there. The question now is, how much danger is the seat of power, the seat of government exposed to? What's the plan to protect it from that danger? Because we recently saw the government experiment with telecoms and banking shutdowns to try to frustrate kidnappers, give the security agencies cover to operate. We've seen it in Zamfara, we've seen it in Sokoto, we've seen it in Kaduna. But we've also seen that in those states, kidnappings and other attacks are still happening, while the economy is suffering from the shutdowns. Last week, I told you about Governor Tambuwal calling for the shutdown in Sokoto to end. But the reason I'm bringing all of this up is to ask you whether you think the government will try to, you know, effect a shutdown in Abuja. Only if the security situation gets worse. And do you think it could work there? But I'm probably getting ahead of myself. What do you think about this raid and this abduction at the University of Abuja? 0700-993-993-993. That's our number, the only one available at the moment. So men and women, try and call that number. 0700-993-993-993. We also have WhatsApp, so please get in touch via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Don't call WhatsApp, just send us messages there. If you're listening abroad, Nigeria Info FM, that's our ID on Skype. Daniel is in Surulere. Hello, Daniel.
Good afternoon. I'm Sandra, President Sandra, everything included.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Sandra,
yes.
I want to tell you something that happened in my area.
Okay.
Our road, they were fixing our road.
Okay.
I stay on Ajao Road.
Okay.
The engineer that came to destroy the old drainage. Remember, we had pavement that you drive across your houses. Are you getting me?
Okay.
When they brought down all this pavement and wanted to fix new one, the iron they brought were very tiny. And when we asked them that, why are you bringing this iron irrespective of what was there before? You know what they told us?
What?
No, we cannot use big iron. This is what the federal government gave us. We have to buy tiny ones. We will not expand it. We put it like 15 inches to each other so that it will do what the other one was supposed to do. We told them no. If I'm driving a Jeep and I want to drive in, I don't think this iron will hold this pavement. It will carve down. This is exactly what happened to that building. What they are using is inferior to what they are supposed to use. Final. There's nothing like, hey, no, the engineer may not go. It was supposed to be 21 buildings. It is okay, what were they doing? Which defect did the building have that they were trying to correct? Hey, Aunt Sandra, please tell us.
I'm not the spokesperson for the building. I can't tell you.
I just don't understand that. Well, let's continue and see what will happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling, Daniel. Kingsley Nijegun is on the line.
This
Hey, Kingsley.
This call is now being recorded.
Hello, President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Engineer Kingsley.
Welcome.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say a lot of people are calling and they are saying a lot of things about engineering that they lack knowledge about.
Mm-hmm.
Like I heard somebody talking about block and the rest of them. And since government has given approval for it, and I want to believe that people that gave approval were experts, let people not call in and start postulating. Somebody called, I heard in your news that the standard organization said something about calling on manufacturing block manufacturers. First of all, blocks are not structural members. So when, as an engineer, you do your design, you don't consider block. You only consider block as load, which you need to distribute and know how to put it. Secondly, is that Lagos State Government, I said it probably on that show this morning, need to look inwards. They put revenue generation over regulation. They are all about the money. They just want to make money. That's what they call stage, which Lagos State Building Control Agency needs. You pay them to come and do. Who signs up on that stage, that every stage of the work, they are supposed to come and inspect and be sure that these things are provided as it is in the approved drawing. They will collect the money for stage. They don't come to carry out stage inspection. Secondly, standard organization itself, what you have as 16mm, 12mm, 10mm, you go and measure them. Get a vernier caliper. You will see that this 16mm is not up to 13mm. So what engineer does is, okay, these are the issues we have. Most of the time, what we do in building is we over provide what, after you've done your calculation, you run all your checks on it. What we now do is, you see somewhere, if you've seen a structural design, you see as required and as provide. You see both things there. So even people are saying they are using small material, I don't think people understand how those things work and how the engineers show them around. But I think the problem is from material. For example, the cement that we buy, the Dangotes, the Boa, the rest of them, what is their setting time? Go outside and bring a foreign cement and use. You find out that it sets more faster than what we have. Yet, we pay times three on cement in Nigeria than in other countries. You can, as a journalist, you can find out for yourself. The same thing on every other material. The government turned a blind eye on these things. And what they want to, everyone is calling the engineers. Everybody, the engineer, we all go to the same market, just like every other person. We go to the same market, we say we want 16mm, they supply us 16mm. Who is there to regulate these things?
Kingsley, thank you very much for calling. We have to take a break, but I would have loved to hear more from Kingsley. Unfortunately, we do have to take this break. When we come back, we'll talk about Ikoyi some more. Chukwudi Ezugu out in the field covering it. Don't go away.